I'm Andrew from the Dad.io podcast. Life supplies the inputs, and we supply the outputs. Part of the Gonna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other fantastic and amazing geeky shows at GonnaGeekNetwork.com.
And welcome to Play Comics, a show where we look at video games based on comic properties and how well they stick to that source material. I'm Chris, and today we have Paul Chomo here to talk about Spider-Man from 2000, the game that so many people have asked me to if they can look at, and they just can't have it because it's Paul's. Paul, how are you today?
No, I claimed it like, I'm good. I'm good. I think I claimed that game like a year ago. It has to be more than a year ago. I was like, if you get to the point where you do Spider-Man for PS1, that is mine. That's my game. I want to talk about it.
I'm with you on not being too sure on the exact time frame, but it was definitely before I started having guests.
Yeah. It was right about the time you started having guests on. I was like right there kind of at the beginning, and I was like, I got dibs on this game, man. And I'm glad too, because We've done two Spider-Man games now. They've both been, one's worse than the other.
That's putting it very mildly. If anybody wants to go check that out, it is the Amazing Spider-Man games for the original Game Boy, which you can go back in the feed and listen to. And yeah, they're Game Boy games.
Oh boy. Yeah, don't pay money for them. Get an emulator, get some ROMs, and if you have to, check those out. And then, yeah. I don't recommend it. Maybe if you're really, really bored and you really, really need a Spider-Man game, go check those out. But this one is way better.
This time, we're looking at Spider-Man that's actually kind of based on something, which I really love, because most of the Spider-Man games we've looked at, I mean, obviously there are some exceptions. They're just, hey, here's Spider-Man. Have fun. This one is kind of based on the Amazing Spider-Man run of Spider-Man comics.
Right. Yeah. And okay, so the storyline very briefly is that in the game is that Spider-Man is framed for stealing something from Doc Ock, right? But it's an imposter Spider-Man. And this is not uncharted territory in that Amazing Spider-Man series. I looked up and I saw that Spider-Woman at one point posed as Spider-Man. Kraven also did twice. Chameleon did, because it's Chameleon, that's what he does, he imitates people. Mysterio is a Spider-Man imposter in Amazing Spider-Man number 13. And then a character I've never heard of called Eugene Flash Thompson, who is, he pretends to be Spider-Man too. So not uncharted territory. This is like comic book canon stuff.
So many people try to have a fake Spider-Man going, and Jameson falls for every time, because he just hates Spider-Man. He's gonna get that Spider-Man.
And you know, one of my favorite characters in any Spider-Man comic is J. Jonah Jameson. And who's the actor that portrayed him in the Tobey Maguire movies? J.K. Simmons will forever be J. Jonah Jameson in my brain. I don't know if there's any other actor that can do that better than J.K. Simmons.
They pulled him into the MCU for a reason, right?
Yeah.
They didn't really pull anybody else from any of the other older Spider-Man movies, even though I would gladly take Emma Stone in another one. But they pull in J.K. Simmons because he just embodies that character so well. And he is somebody who shows up in the game, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's definitely in the game.
So one thing about this game that I've heard a lot of people say is that they think it's based on the animated cartoon series, which is just not true. It just happens to have some of the same voice actors.
Right, and I never saw that animated series.
I grew up on that animated series. It's really good.
Did you? Yeah, no, it passed me by, and I don't know why that is. I don't know if I just didn't have that cable channel or if I was too busy watching Dora the Explorer with my kids, but I missed out on that. But they use the same voice actors, right?
For the most part, they do.
Yeah.
And so I can understand where that confusion comes in. Because I can't think of anything else where they use the same voice actors, but it's not based on it. It's kind of weird to me.
It is odd.
And also, you can't forget that a few years before this, you'd had the Clone Saga going on in the Spider-Man books. So even okay. More, hey, this isn't the real Spider-Man shenanigans.
So explain that to me. What was the Clone Saga?
So first off, I want to say that the Clone Saga is not the most critically acclaimed or fondly remembered run of Spider-Man. At all.
Okay.
So it's not something people really like too much.
Is it something that like the real diehards would like?
It's just weird.
Okay. Sure.
So if you run back to 1973, there's kind of this comic style groundwork getting laid really early. Gwen Stacy gets killed. And so then they kind of branched off from there. And then a scientist called Jackal in his villain form comes and makes a clone of Gwen Stacy and Peter Parker, which is how he discovers that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. Which makes sense, because you'd be able to study your clone, and he wouldn't know that he's supposed to hide his identity like that.
Well, that, yeah, okay. That sounds interesting.
It's kind of a little, okay, it happens, it's done kind of deal. Granted, I haven't read these in a really long time, so I know I am missing a ton of stuff. But then there's a second Clone Saga. Spider-Man's clone comes back.
Sure.
He's survived battles and everything, and he's known as Ben Reilly.
Okay.
And he develops a superhero identity of the Scarlet Spider, comes back to New York City. And Peter and Ben are both kind of messed up by Jackal and another villain called Kane.
Okay.
He's not really too important in the context of the game, and I don't know enough about him to try to go into things right now. But Marvel, for whatever reason, decided to go with a storyline where it was discovered that Peter is actually the clone and Ben Reilly is the original Spider-Man.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Not a lot of people did.
I can see why. No, a hard pass. Well, yeah, you know, gotta try something new, right? I mean, you know, when bands don't try something new, people get all over them. So I guess comic book writers have to try, you know, they also have to try something new. They have to try to make their product fresh and entertaining and new, and sometimes doesn't work. And I can't imagine that working at all.
And they're in a really good medium for doing it, because you have a new book coming out every month. You can try something. You've got the soap opera aspects of, oh, that was just Mysterio causing illusions, so that never really happened. All kinds of ways you can take it back.
Yeah, sure. It just seems like that, you know, you're taking a brand and you're messing with it too much for its own good, for the sake of being different. Like, you still have to have those elements there that are familiar and that you're used to. Like, Peter Parker is Spider-Man. You know, maybe Miles Morales if you get a little bit further ahead, but none of this. What was this guy's name?
Ben Reilly.
Ben Stevens? Ben Reilly. Who the hell knows who Ben Reilly is?
It was a nobody.
Yeah.
A combination of Uncle Ben and Aunt May's maiden name.
Right. So, yeah, this is like, you know, when Garth Brooks in the 90s wanted to, like, liven things up a little bit, he could have added, like, a keyboard and maybe another guitar to his band, but no, he had to, like, grow a soul patch and be Chris Gaines, and it just didn't fly. That's what that strikes me. That's kind of how it smacks to me, is like they changed a little too much.
Holy crap, Reed's episode was based in more fact than I thought. A lot of good villains come up in this Spider-Man game too. You have Venom,
yes,
who we've seen all over the place.
Right.
Symbiote suit, kind of, because it's like an alien life form.
Sure.
And Carnage, which is just a different symbiote alien life form.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask what the difference between those two is.
Carnage is red and has a lot more rage.
Okay.
And eventually Venom goes on to be kind of a hero-ish, but Carnage never does, as far as I can remember.
Okay.
You have Scorpion.
Sure.
A dude in a metal suit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we haven't seen that before. But he's got his really cool tail and he's really strong, and presumably he has never been eaten by Paul Chomo.
not yet. Real scorpions only, please.
You have Mysterio.
Sure.
Which, maybe if we had done this episode last summer, you'd think that maybe people wouldn't know about his past as a special effects artist and how he could turn that into villainry.
Yeah, I didn't know that, and I did not know that until I watched the trailer and saw, like, the previews for the Spider-Man movie that is hopefully still in the movie theaters, because I haven't seen it yet. But yeah, Mysterio is a guy with magic tricks.
You have a symbiote suit version of Doc Ock, which is just made up for this game, but it's also really cool, so
oh, it's
maybe
so cool.
Maybe if you can convince Activision to let Marvel use it, we can make it happen. I don't know. I'm not sure how the rights work for that kind of thing.
It worked for this game. It was a really cool idea for this game, and that's good enough.
I can live with that.
Yeah.
We have Paul's personal favorite villain of all time. Rhino.
Yep. Again.
I don't know
you have
why.
You don't know why what? Why Rhino exists? Why they put him in every game? Why he's not a better villain?
Rhino is kind of like the Wolverine problem that the X-Men games have, where you have the same guy showing up over and over and over, and I need to go back and check my facts here, but Rhino seems to have popped up in just about every single Spider-Man game that I've looked at.
He is. Definitely.
He's definitely been in every single one that you've looked at with me.
Yeah, and I think it's because he's really got only one offensive maneuver, and that is to run at you with his head, which makes for a really, really easy boss level. So, like, you know, that's probably why they stick him in every single game. Because he's not that complicated. His moves are not that intricate. Yeah, he's just a terrible villain. Like, he's just... I don't know why he's lasted as long in the comics and in the video games as he has. Honestly, he's a boring, dumb villain.
I'm really racking my brain trying to think of a good... Not just, like, good, but, like, really good, critically acclaimed, you have to read this Rhino story that's good because of what Rhino does, and not just good because and he happens to be there and tag along for the ride.
Yeah.
And I can't think of anything. I'm sure that somebody is going to pop up and let us know of one once this episode actually comes out. But
I would really, yeah. I'd love to know. I would love to have my mind changed. Maybe there's somebody out there that is just scratching their eyeballs out going, but Paul, you don't understand. Rhino was actually a really good villain because blah, 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 and now he stinks. Please change my mind. He stinks. I'm like that guy with the, I'm like that guy sitting out there with the table. Rhino is a bad villain. Change my mind.
Bonus points if it's on Marvel Unlimited, because then I can just read it and I've already paid for it.
There you go.
And you have the Lizard making a brief appearance, but he's kind of not a villain in this one. It's really weird.
He's just sort of there to push the storyline along. Like, he's there to explain, and maybe we're getting ahead a little bit, but he's there to explain why there's all these weird lizard creatures in the sewer. And that's it.
The weird thing with Lizard is that, yes, when he started, he is a villain, but then later Doc Connors kind of figures out how he can control it. But he also figures out that just in the context of being able to stay alive, it's better for him to stay the Lizard and not return to his human form. So then you have like not evil Lizard, but he's been evil and people still think he's evil. And it's probably because he's green and everybody knows that green people are always villains.
Well, yeah, it's not easy being green. Kermit the Frog established that 40 years ago. It's just not easy being green.
But you also have a bunch of characters popping up just to kind of talk to Spider-Man and really let him know that everything's being okay. We'll knock the super popular ones out first. Captain America. He's Captain America.
Yep. Everybody knows who Captain... It's just a cavalcade of Marvel Comics villains and heroes in this game.
It's almost like they said, hey, here's a bunch of people that we have to get into some kind of movie or game or something to keep the rights going.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that's not what it was. I'm just pulling that out of my ass. And I'm certainly not saying that everybody who shows up has no business being there, because in the Marvel Universe, you do have heroes seeing each other and talking to each other and stuff like that all the time. But there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
You have Daredevil showing up again in a Spider-Man game well before he is in any game of his own.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Human Torch, who's just kind of flying around at the top of a building, and he talks to Spider-Man and gives him some encouragement. You have the Punisher, who thankfully is not trying to kill Spider-Man like he was back when he first appeared.
Yep.
And you have Black Cat.
You know, I'd never heard of Black Cat.
This game was my introduction to Black Cat as well.
Okay. Yeah, I've never... When I got this game, I had never heard of Black Cat, and then I forgot about Black Cat, and then I started playing this game again a couple weeks ago, and there was Black Cat, and I was like, oh, I forgot about that. So not an A-list Marvel superhero there, I don't think. Unless there's somebody out there who's a really big Black Cat fan that is just getting ready to flush their mobile device down the toilet.
Black Cat is Felicia Hardy. She is an expert burglar, alters probability fields to cause bad luck towards others, skilled martial artist, and, you know, a bunch of things that go along with that, like, you know, having the flexibility to do gymnast stuff and strength and agility, things that every superhero seems to have.
Sure.
And then, you know, all the cat-like weapons you would expect, like claws and being able to jump and climb on things.
Sure. So, Catwoman. This is the Marvel Universe, Marvel Comics Catwoman.
But legally distinctly different.
Yes.
But yeah, pretty much. Which I'm not complaining about at all. But it is somebody, and what I had read of the comics at the time, back when I was playing this, I hadn't really seen much of. Granted, I was reading a lot of the older stuff. Even though she debuted back in 1979, I was still reading stuff from before that.
Sure. And I guarantee you that she looked better in the comics than she looks in this game. Because in this game, she and I think Mary Jane, they use the same model for those two characters. Very pointy. Lots of points. Lots of very odd points.
Welcome to the polygons of the PlayStation era.
Lots of polygons.
So did you know that Spider-Man has also had romantic relationships with people that are not Mary Jane?
You know, that doesn't surprise me. Is Black Cat one of them?
Black Cat is one of them.
Of course.
Like, to the point of revealing their secret identities to each other.
No.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I think they got a little serious.
Was there a little tension between them in this game? I feel like there was a little tension.
Yeah, just a little bit.
A little bit, right?
We're going to try to find a knife to cut all that tension with while you listen to a few promos for some other shows.
Do you or someone you know struggle through life with anxiety-related mental disorders? Ever get that feeling that you are one of the few? I'm here to tell you that you are not alone. Take a journey with me as I talk about key points in my past and how they may have led to me being diagnosed with anxiety and panic disorder. After which, we will talk about different ways to tone down the anxiety and maybe even beat it together on Anxinity. The easiest way to remember the name is by thinking about how one searches for a state of zen in the midst of the anxieties of life. My name is Gerald, and I'm the host of Anxinity.
Hello, I'm Anthony.
And I'm Dr. Issues.
And we're hosts of Capes on the Couch, the podcast where comics get counseling.
Superheroes don't always get to go home happy. That's where we come in.
We offer psychiatric and mental health analysis of comic book characters.
So check us out at capesonthecouch.live and across all social media platforms at Capes on the Couch.
So, Paul, how excited are you to finally talk about the Spider-Man game with me?
Oh, I love this game. I love this game. I love this game so much. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. If for nothing else, if for no other reason, then I could download the emulator and the ROM and just play it on my own computer, which I did for the last 2 weeks, and it was a joy.
I love it because I can finally tell people, no, that episode's recorded, you can't do it. This was my Spider-Man game growing up. This was the one that I had. Like, I had played the Genesis and Super Nintendo Spider-Man games at people's houses before, rented them from Blockbuster. Kids, go ask your parents what that is. This was the one Spider-Man game that we actually owned.
Yeah, and when I bought mine, so I had a PS1 that I got from my ex-brother-in-law. So he had left my sister, and he had left a garage full of stuff, and there was a PlayStation 1 sitting there, and I was like, hey, little sis, can I have this? And she was like, sure. So I took it home. And this was the PS1 game that I bought, A, because it was Spider-Man, and B, because there were like two or three pictures of the game on the back of the box, you know, the back of the little CD case. And it was not the 2D side-scrolling thing. It was like, oh, you can actually web-sling through cities? Yes, sign me up. Take my money.
Now, everybody wants to talk about the second Spider-Man movie game as being the ultimate swing-through-city Spider-Man games. But this is the one that so many people started with.
It's the original. For sure.
Technically, it's not as good. I will give it that. But it has that nostalgia factor for me.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's. I mean, we're... Yeah. Spoiler alert. This game is awesome.
This game came out for the PlayStation 1, the Nintendo 64, and the GameCube in 2000, and the Dreamcast in 2001. All of them published by Activision. Neversoft took care of the PlayStation 1. Vicarious Visions took care of the Game Boy Color 1. Their claim to fame is pretty much doing Game Boy ports of Tony Hawk, but then they also somehow got to do Tony Hawk 4 all by themselves. I don't know. Neversoft, I probably should have mentioned before, made the Tony Hawk games, made Guitar Hero, and that's really all you need to know from them, and those two are amazing, so it doesn't matter. Edge of Reality took care of the N64 versions. Not really too much from them. They did a 2004 port of Pitfall and Transformers Rise of the Dark Spark and the Hulk game from 2008. Meh. and Treyarch did the Dreamcast version, who later went on to do a bunch of the Call of Duty games.
Yep.
They're all the same to me. I'm sure they didn't do all of them, but I don't care.
Yeah, and it's interesting that they used that Tony Hawk engine, and if you've... Like, I played Tony Hawk Pro Skater, and I love that game, and I played Spider-Man, love that game, never put the two together, never knew that they used the same engine in that game until like way later on, and I said, oh, well, that makes perfect sense, because it's pretty much, it's Tony Hawk Pro Skater just adapted for Spider-Man.
Well, Spider-Man is
and
also...
it works so well.
Spider-Man is also an unlockable character in Tony Hawk.
Oh, that's right. You're right. I didn't realize. I forgot about that.
And they kind of mention the Tony Hawk games a little bit in the dialogue for the game. So they're definitely trying to let people know. Without throwing it in their face.
Yeah.
But like we said before, this game is not based on a certain run of Spider-Man as a storyline. It's just based on the Amazing Spider-Man comics, which in all reality, there were like 73,000 different Spider-Man series going at the same time. They're not all too different. You do have your differences of things going every once in a while, but for the most part, if you can understand what's going on in one, you can understand what's going on in the other. It's not like in one of them, Mary Jane is an evil villain.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty straightforward Spider-Man game. There's no big surprises. I think it seems like they took a lot of elements from the comics and just kind of wrapped it up in a nice little bundle. They got a bunch of Spider-Man's friends. They got a bunch of the villains. The storyline is something that you would see in a comic. It's plausible. They really only created the symbiote Doc Ock for the game, which is a really cool final boss. But it's like playing a comic book. Which is, I mean, for the purposes of this podcast, is perfect. It's like playing a comic book.
You even have Stanley narration in this game.
Oh, that's the best. I forgot about that, yes. Hello, spider friends. This is your old pal Stanley. Excelsior! Guy's the best. I choked up a little bit. When I started playing the game, I forgot Stan Lee was in the game. And that opening sequence where he's like, hello, spider friends! I was like, oh, it's Stan Lee!
You're not the only one.
That was the best. Oh! Stan Lee still lives. He still lives in my computer on my game.
Heroes live forever, but legends never die.
That's right. But yeah, it plays like a comic book. It's so deeply satisfying. And like I said before, like the point of the game, the storyline is that Spider-Man is framed and it looks like he's the one that stole some tech from Doc Ock, who on the surface looks like he's a good guy, but he's not really a good guy. He's a bad guy. And it's a whole thing.
You'd think that at some point people would think that if you have a scientist with a kind of scientist-y name but could also be twisted as a villain name, they're gonna be a villain.
Yeah, and by the way, a track record of being a villain.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know?
We'll ignore that part.
Okay.
So, I mean, obviously there's bank heist levels, there's rescue hostages levels, there's race to catch villains levels. You have to go down in a sewer, because even though this game came out in 2000s, it's still a 90s game.
Yep. There's puzzles. You have to solve some puzzles.
There's a level where you have to keep hitting switches to keep Mary Jane from drowning.
Yeah, oh, that's infuriating. Yeah, that level. Yeah, that would be the Venom boss level, which is, for me, it's harder than the final boss level. Like, it's a pain in the ass.
but there's just so much little Spider-Man content in here. All the alternate costumes. Like, what? That never happened before in a game.
Yeah, that's true.
Some of them are just there so that you can have a different look while you're playing.
Right.
But some of them actually give you different abilities.
Yep. And also, like, you're not just shooting webs at people. There's a really cool move where it's like this exploding web dome thing that takes out a lot of people. There's my favorite is the spider web boxing gloves, which, okay, that seems weird, but I kind of like it. There's all kinds of different ways that you could shoot your webs at people to take them out. Like, I love that part of it.
And also, because this was before the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies, there's absolutely no question that it's web cartridges here and not biological webbing.
Not organic webbing, yes. I like that.
That is a much better word than what I tried to say.
Organic. No, biological, organic. We got it. It's good. No, and that's part of the fun of a Spider-Man game, right? Is you can't just shoot webbing all over the place. You have to conserve it until you actually need it. You know, you can't let it run down too low. Whereas if you had an organic web shooting device, it's just that takes away part of the fun of it, you know? There's no strategy there if you just have all the webbing you need.
I'm so glad this came out before the movie, because if it had come out after, they probably would have had to have gone with the organic webbing.
Yeah, but they didn't, even in the Tobey Maguire movies, he didn't have, like, he only had just shooting the web and wrapping things up in web. He didn't have web balls that he shot at people. He didn't have web boxing gloves to beat people up with. You know, they could have taken some of what's in this game into that movie. And, you know, that would have been pretty cool. Like, Spider-Man in the video game actually has more weapons than Tobey Maguire Spider-Man in the movie.
And I think a lot of that just comes from the fact that Peter Parker has to make the webbing. So, you know, I don't know about you, but if I'm a science man of science sitting there making webbing, I'm going to try to figure out what else I can do with it besides just shoot it at people and make them have a sticky rope around them.
You're right. Yep.
So you do have to run through the game and pick up, in this game, it's blue spider symbols to give you more web cartridges. You know, I'm never going to give anybody crap for what their power-up icon things are.
Right.
You have your white and red spider symbols for health. You can pick up spider armor, which in a game is good.
Yeah, it's fine. You need that. You need that in a game. A little power-up here and there. A little save point here and there. Just to keep you going.
But overall, this game, it just really, especially for me growing up, captured what I thought Spider-Man was. Because you can stick to the walls and the ceilings everywhere.
Yes.
That was the main exciting thing for me. Because everything I had played before this, you could maybe stick to this wall, but not this other wall, and you can't really tell why. But this game, if it's a wall, you stick. If it's a ceiling, you stick. Who cares?
Right. Now, just to go off on a little tangent, the water thing. Like, the one thing that you cannot tolerate in this game is water. Is that canon? Is that something in the comics that as soon as Spider-Man touches water, he drowns? That's the thing. I don't understand why Spider-Man cannot swim.
Spider-Man can swim in the comics. I think that's more of a video game convention.
Okay. That's what I thought. It seems like that makes sense. He cannot do that in this game.
It seems like more of a video game thing where touching water makes absolutely everybody completely useless. Whatever. That's just something we're going to have to deal with.
Yep.
But overall, it's only little tiny things like that that you really can just explain as, okay, this is a game, you have to have a way for him to die.
And those, the water levels are pretty fun. There's one where he's in a tunnel and the water level is going up and down and you have to time it out just right, and you're stuck to the ceiling of this tunnel, and you're scooting across the ceiling upside down and trying not to get a single drop of water on you, lest you drown and die.
To be fair, I have probably drowned a lot of spiders lately.
Oh no. Oh,
I'm not sure what kind they were. But I honestly don't know anybody who hates this game. Unless they just, for some reason, hate all PlayStation games. Ever.
I mean, that's the only... Yeah, or unless you really, really hate Spider-Man. In which case, there's no such thing as a Spider-Man game that's going to make you happy.
And that's horrible, because if you go back looking at it through today's eyes, yeah, it's really dated. Combat is really dated. The graphics are definitely really dated. But, I mean, when this came out, this is like the cream of the crop of what PlayStation could do outside of the cutscenes.
You know, graphics aside, they were good graphics for their time. But to me, gameplay is everything. And, you know, this game holds up in that department. If you play this game today, does it look great? Eh, compared to today's games, not really. But, you know, it looks pretty good for PS1. It sounds good. The music is great. It's not repetitive. But it's so fun. Like, the gameplay is just... You're Spider-Man. I mean, it's... You're Spider-Man, you know?
Yeah, you're not just a dude in a Spider-Man suit. You are Spider-Man.
You're Spider-Man. It's the best.
So overall, what do you think this game really gets right? The short version.
Everything.
Pretty much.
Pretty much everything. I'll tell you the little tidbits that kind of bugged me. And they're not any big deal. Like, you could just totally ignore them and be fine. So, if you're already at full health and you run over a little health meter thing, he'll say, "I'm already at full health." And you're going to hear that 28 times a game. And he says something similar when you run over a web cartridge. Like, he gives you a little message that says, "I already have enough of that," or something like that. And that gets really repetitive and annoying. So I don't like that. One thing that in any game that annoys me that I really don't like are escort levels or chase levels. So when you're chasing somebody through a city and you have to keep up with them, and if you lose sight of them, you've lost the level. Those really annoy me. And chasing Venom in this game goes on way too long. You're chasing Venom through the city, through the sewers, for over half of the game. And by the time you're finally done with that, you're sick of Venom. You know? That's a huge chunk of the game, is chasing Venom around. And the only other thing I wish I could have had was, like, some sort of open world aspect to this game, maybe some side quests, something. It's a very, very linear storyline. There's not a lot of wiggle room. You know, I suppose you could... there's things that you could look for. There's, like, comic book covers to look for. There's some extra suits to look for. But those aren't, you know, they're not all that fun. You know, the whole point of the game is to go through the story line, and that's fine. The story mode is just fine, but I would have liked a little something extra. Also, it's really easy. It's an easy game. Like, the past couple of weeks, I've been playing on kid mode, just to kind of, you know, be able to get through as much of it as I can. But when I had this game, I beat it on, I beat it on medium difficulty, and then I went to hard difficulty and I beat it again, but it didn't seem like it was any harder than medium. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's kid mode and then easy, medium, hard are all pretty much the same. And it's a very, very easy game to beat, I think.
this is probably the PlayStation game I beat the most because I played it that often.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's the best thing about beating the game is that final boss level where symbiote Doc Ock is running after you is insane. It's one of the best boss levels you will ever play in any game ever. You're just trying to stay a step ahead of him. The facility is crashing around you, and you know, it's a little like Crash Bandicoot, where you're just running, and you have to time your jumps just right, and you have to know where to zig and where to zag. But God, is that a fun boss level.
I mean, for me, the only other things that really bother me about it are just aspects of gameplay that hadn't really come around yet. You don't really have a ton of camera control, and it gets a little wonky with what it shows you sometimes. Bunch of the stuff Paul already mentioned, so we don't need to rehash that. But also, this game was coming out 2000. They've pretty much gotten it, but they're still kind of figuring out 3D games.
Right.
Side quests would have been nice, but outside of RPGs, I don't remember them really being in too many games at that time. Maybe I was just playing the wrong things. I don't know.
Right.
So, they definitely could have, they just didn't, because, as far as I know, it wasn't really a thing that a bunch of people were asking for.
Yeah, no, this was a unique game, for sure, in a lot of ways.
So, overall, if you have somebody who wanted to get into Spider-Man, would you hand them this game as a bit of a primer course?
Absolutely. Like, there's no question about it. I don't think it's a stretch to say that this game is the benchmark by which all future Spider-Man video games are judged by, right? Like, this is, for all practical purposes, this is the first Spider-Man video game, in my mind. And every Spider-Man video game that has come out since, unless it's what do you call those games, like a fighter game?
Yep.
Yeah, unless it's one of those, that's all the Spider-Man games are like. PlayStation 1 just kind of forged the path for what a Spider-Man game is supposed to be. So yeah, definitely I would recommend this. I would say just start with this game, don't look back, and have fun.
Yeah, Maximum Carnage and Separation Anxiety are good, but they're objectively not as good as this one. Everything else is... it exists, but it's clearly not as good as this one.
I agree.
And I haven't played all the ones that came out after this, so maybe there's something else that'll pop up and be better. I know a lot of people are probably saying that they'll say the PS4 Spider-Man game will be the new benchmark.
Yeah, but this is the one, I mean, Spider-Man games since, of course, they're going to be better because they're going to have better graphics and they're going to have better controls and better music and better, but this was the one that started it. And that you can't really take that away from it.
I love this game so much. I can't say that enough.
I do too. So, yeah, I downloaded the emulator and I got the ROM, and I am fine with that because I bought this game and I paid good money for it, and I paid for it brand new, so I don't know. Can you still get a PS1? Can you still buy those
flea markets and stuff?
So go to your flea market, go to your local flea market, or go on eBay, get a PS1 and get a copy of this game. I'm sure it's not a collector's item. You can probably find those on eBay or Amazon too, and just buy this. Buy a PlayStation 1 anyway, because that's a great console, but definitely get this game. This was one of my... For PS1, it was this game, Metal Gear Solid, Crash Bandicoot, Destruction Derby, Tomb Raider. That's like those are like must-have titles for PS1.
Or heck, take advantage of the backwards compatibility and get a PS2 or a PS3, because they'll all play PS1 games.
I forgot about that. Yeah, there you go. Do
PS2
that.
PS2 on purpose and PS3 is a happy accident. So, Paul, if people like hearing you talk about other things besides Spider-Man, where else can they find you around the internet?
Oh my God, why would they? I'm the host of the Varmints Podcast, which is a podcast about animals. And every week we take an animal and we talk about it, and we talk about it in pop culture. I think we've talked about Spider-Man before. We've talked about Rhino. We've talked about... Have we talked about Spider-Man? Way back when we did a spider episode? I don't think so. Yeah, we talk about animals, and it's family-friendly and educational and fun and funny, and I have a wonderful, talented, funny co-host named Donna, who is way better at podcasting than I am, so she's worth listening to. And yeah, we're everywhere you can find podcasts, Varmints with an exclamation point, and that's us.
We will have links to that down in the show notes, because that's easier than trying to remember how to spell things. And as always, if you want to hear more from me, you can head on over to Twitter at PlayComicsCast, or join the Facebook group at playcomics.com/Facebook group, which will redirect you. But I think it's more fun telling you to go there. And if you want to help support the show, you can check out the merch store or join up on Patreon. There's all kinds of options there if you go over to the Play Comics website. Check out the support page. Also, if you want to check out other wonderfully geeky shows, you can head on over to gunnageek.com and learn about such wonderful shows as On the Bubble, which is an oral history of Save Our Show TV fan campaigns. And Josh Liston goes through, looks inside the hearts and minds of television's most avid fans and why they go and try to save the shows that they love, and sometimes actually save the shows that they love. And it's a really good listen. You should definitely check that out, because it's a wonderful show.
But I think I will. That does sound interesting.
And if you like the music that we're rudely talking on top of right now, if you can hear this in the future, you can head on over to soundcloud.com/best-day to check out Best Day's music. It's really good. I don't know if you know that or not.
It sounds good. I like it.
But most of all, just grab a game. Probably this one, because it's really good. Grab a stack of comics that aren't the Clone Saga, and go find yourself a new favorite character. Do you do the thing at the end of my episode like you do at the beginning of Adam's?
Oh, what? What's that?
Do you go through and say my ending things like you say the beginning of Adam's opening things?
Practically, it's pretty predictable. Yeah, he's Adam's changing it up too. He's like throwing me off. He's changing up his introduction, and it's messing with me. He's doing it on purpose.
All right, so here's our new game for all the podcasters: change your ending and opening things to screw with Paul.
I love that I got an Adam's head over that.
I haven't listened to the newest one yet.
Yeah, he changes it. He puts a little bit of extra oomph on part of it that is like, all right, well, he's clearly messing with me. I should have never told him that. I love you, Adam.